Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Fan Phenom is back, ladies and gentlemen, and it is going to be August 7th, State Highway 78 in Sachse will be your first opportunity. That's a Thursday, your first opportunity to try out right in front of the boss man. You get to do a few minutes of a show with a professional broadcaster. You get on the microphone, as Fred said, once that microphone hits, it's all different. Who knows?
Not according to some people, though. Yeah, I could easily do sports radio. I don't know if I'm going to have time in my schedule, was what a texter said yesterday.
Once that microphone turns on and you look at the clock, you're like, oh, there's more time that except I got to fill here. Alec knows exactly what I'm talking about. And who knows? You could be the next Jared Sandler. Speaking of, Jared Sandler joining us right now on the KNC Masterpiece. Jared, how exhausting was yesterday for you? I know you had a long day.
Yeah, it's always really fun. I'll tell you, I'm always glad that I'm not one of these beat writers who, you know, in this era now, you know, they try to break news. I just get to sit back and react. But it was a lot of fun. It is, you know, it is a lot. And then on top of that, you're beginning I guess to date the biggest series of the season. And so, but it was a fun day. And, you know, it's always fun when your team's active. I think, you know, whether you're a buyer or a seller, you obviously would much prefer to be a buyer. But either way, just the activity, I think a lot of people like. I know I do. Don't like to just sit dormantly. You know, last year's trade deadline was a little boring, with all due respect to the acquisitions of Carson Kelly and Andrew Chafin and whatnot. But this one a little more exciting. And hopefully the Rangers got three guys who are going to be able to help them make a push for the playoffs.
Do you feel that they gave up too much for any of these pieces, or the entirety of this? Because a lot of people are frustrated how much of the top prospects you gave up there.
Yeah, Corey, I think there are a few different philosophies here. I align more with the A.J. Preller, Alex Anthopoulos, Dave Dombrowski school of thought, which is you got to be willing to give up these guys. I mean, prospects are suspects. And I go back to – I mentioned this yesterday on G-Bag. I go back to the Cole Hamels trade 10 years ago. The Rangers gave up five of their top 10 prospects, and that's when they had what was considered to be one of the best systems in baseball. That's not the case right now. So the prospect rankings that people see, a little inflated, because the farm system, you know, isn't like a top five farm system. But none of those five guys ended up, you know, panning out anywhere close to, you know, the ways that we thought that they might. And the reality is that's often the case with prospects. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. I mean, the Rangers just faced the Braves and Jurickson Profar, and Jurickson Profar's turned out to have an okay career. But Jurickson Profar was like a can't-miss number one prospect in all of baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Adell, the Rangers just faced the Angels, same thing. So, you know, I think you look at the best teams in baseball, the teams that perennially compete at the top level, those are teams that losing Mitch Bratt, losing Cole Drake doesn't wreck their organization. Now, that's not to say that Mitch Bratt and Cole Drake won't become good pitchers. I think, you know, they certainly can be. But your organization's trajectory should not be altered by not having either or both of those guys. Good organizations now replenish, right? Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, you find the next Cole Drake and Mitch Bratt and you continue to build the farm system. So I don't think they gave up too much. That's what the market was. This was a seller's market. Word on the street was if the Rangers wanted one of those closer options, they were going to have to give up Sebastian Walcott. And
ooh.
I don't think that they were too interested in that. But that just gives you an idea of what the price tag was to make some of these deals. And so, Bratt, Drake, you got to pay to play. You can't expect good players and not be willing to give up some good prospects in the process.
Well, and then your boy, you mentioned A.J. Preller, and I couldn't agree more with you, Jared. I mean, look, you got to do what you got to do. Didn't he kind of set the table when they got rid of the number three overall prospect for Mason Miller? I mean, didn't that pretty much say, okay, if you're going to be involved in this today, the entry fee's not going to be cheap?
Yeah, and, you know, Fred, you're 100% right. And I think that teams like the Rangers who wanted, you know, one of those options, they kind of got hosed by the Felix Bautista injury and the Emmanuel Clase, paid leave. Because now all of a sudden, the supply and demand calculus shifted dramatically. Now, Mason Miller's a guy who's got multiple years of control. Some of these options, that wasn't necessarily the case. But, yeah, I mean, if you're giving up, like Leo DeVries is one of the best prospects to be traded in, probably in a couple years, maybe since the Juan Soto deal that also involved A.J. Preller. And so, you know, that was obviously an eye-opening move, and that was also one that kind of, I don't want to say came out of nowhere, but it wasn't like people were sure that Mason Miller was going to get traded the way we were sure that Sandy Alcantara was going to get traded, the way we were, you know, sure that Luis Robert was going to get traded, which is just another reminder that, you know, anyone who says they have any clue what's going to happen, none of us have any clue. It changes every year. The market changes, it shifts. But, it was definitely a seller's market, which the waters have kind of been muddied by the third wild card, but there were enough teams out there who had the right commodities who, you know, shifted that landscape a bit. So, yeah, again, I just think that you got to be willing to be aggressive. And it's just really tough. Now, the one thing I'll say, guys, if you are a bottom to mid-tier organization from a financial standpoint, if you're the Milwaukee Brewers, if you're the Cleveland Guardians, if you're the Tampa Bay Rays, maybe that mindset shifts a little bit because you need these guys to come up and give you, for lack of a better phrase, cheap labor because mm-hmm. you're not able to pay. I understand that there was a lot of financial discussion surrounding the Rangers this trade deadline, but that's only because they have been spending a lot. This is not an organization that is in the same conversation of, you know, some of those organizations I just mentioned.
Say the Dodgers.
The common thread here, I mentioned the Braves, I mentioned the Phillies with Dombrowski, the Braves with Anthopoulos, the Padres with Preller. These are all organizations that spend money. And so if you're an organization that has the ability to spend money, you can't get hung up on, you know, Cole Drake and Mitch Brad if you feel like you can add someone who's going to impact your team.
All right. I am, and I know a lot of other people are confused about not adding a bat, but I don't believe that this team, that Chris Young didn't try. Can you kind of walk me through what they're thinking on this or what you think they're thinking?
Yeah, I always look around to see, all right, so what other moves were made? And one guy who I think the Rangers, were interested in was, was Ryan O'Hearn. But, you know, even yep. Ryan O'Hearn doesn't fit maybe their biggest need offensively, which is, you know, they need someone who, who's able to hit lefties. And, you know, Ryan O'Hearn is a left-handed hitter, so he's not that guy. There really weren't those guys moved. I don't think the Rangers really felt like there was an offensive fit that, you know, made sense given the prices. And again, it would be one thing if there were three, four different guys who it's like, oh, I wanted that guy, I wanted that guy, I wanted this guy. But there really wasn't. You know, the one guy who I thought would have been interesting was Ramon Laureano, who went to the Padres.
Yeah.
He went, you know, went with Ryan O'Hearn from Baltimore to San Diego. But, I think they tried. Corey, I think their thought process isn't that they didn't feel like they could benefit from an upgrade. I think they definitely did. But I think they look at their roster offensively and they think, wait a second, this is a lineup, this is a roster that we believed was going to be a top five group when the season started, and they have been trending in that direction now, not for 2 weeks, but really for the better part of 2 months, mm-hmm. last night notwithstanding, for whatever reason, the Rangers can't score in Seattle. And I think, you know, their thought is, hey, we have given you guys all the support. You guys now need to start supporting us by performing. And, you know, Jock Peterson is right there smack dab in the middle.
Yeah.
And Adolis Garcia is right behind him. And that Adolis can be the easy answer to, hey, how can we hit lefties better? Well, Adolis Garcia is a guy who, even last year when he struggled, was still about 200 points better in terms of his OPS against lefties than he is this year. So they need the guys that they have to start performing better. And I feel like they think that with the best pitching staff in baseball, that's more than enough for them to compete at a high level. That's not to say they didn't feel like they could benefit from an upgrade. I just think that the price tag and the lack of bats that really moved to fit what the Rangers were looking for with the prices they were willing to pay, there just weren't many of them. And, again, Ramon Laureano was the guy who I thought would be the most interesting fit, but obviously ended up going to San Diego.
What's the latest and greatest with Jake Berger? And we were talking about it, and I can't remember what team we were talking about, where, you know, when you get healthy, like that's kind of its own, that's kind of like you are making a trade when you get guys back from the IL and what have you. Are they kind of seeing Jake Berger as being like, okay, this is going to be the guy in the second half that we thought we were going to get or we expected to get when we made this trade, this past offseason?
Yeah, I think with Berger and Peterson, same boat. You know, Jake has been running the bases I think the hope, the plan is for him to go out on a rehab assignment here soon. I know he told me the other day he was hoping this weekend. I don't know if it will be this weekend or maybe early next week, but you know, I think they're going to have him go out on a rehab assignment. And then the question is, and this is a fair question with Jock Peterson, who only had, I think, 6 at-bats on his rehab assignment, is just how long. You know, it's not like you know, these guys need to necessarily rush back because, again, I know the Rangers didn't, you know, have a good offensive game yesterday, but they have been performing a lot better offensively. But, yeah, he'll go out on a rehab assignment. I think the hope is sometime in the next week to 2 weeks, Jake could be back in the lineup. And, yeah, Fred, you know, he's a streaky hitter. And, you know, I think the Rangers are ready for both Jock Peterson and Jake Berger to, you know, get onto the treadmill, you know, at a, you know, 12.0 speed and carry that for a couple weeks and just see this offense reach a little bit of a different dimension.
Great stuff, Jared. Man, have a good time up there. We'll try and catch up with you next week if that's cool.
All right, fellas, take care.
There he goes, later, Jared, bro. Sandler, our play-by-play extraordinaire.